Hello and welcome to the Mountbrook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Monday, September 2nd. Happy Labor Day. I hope that you are able to rest from your labor. And for those of you who are not able to rest, I pray the Lord's blessing on your work that it would not be frustrated. Today in Acts chapter 16, we are reading about Paul's Macedonian call and a jailbreak. That sounds fun. And if you've been with us at the Project 119 podcast, you'll remember that we just read some of these passages in Acts not long ago. So I'm going to try to focus in on something different that we can see from God's Word today. This week, I am reading from the Contemporary English Version. Paul and Silas went back to Derbe and Lystra, where there was a follower named Timothy. His mother was also a follower. She was Jewish and his father was Greek. The Lord's followers in Lystra and Iconium said good things about Timothy, and Paul wanted him to go with them. But Paul first had him circumcised because all the Jewish people around there knew that Timothy's father was Greek. As Paul and the others went from city to city, they told the followers what the apostles and leaders in Jerusalem had decided, and they urged them to follow these instructions. The churches became stronger in their faith, and each day more people put their faith in the Lord. Paul and his friends went through Phrygia and Galatia, but the Holy Spirit would not let them preach in Asia. After they arrived in Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not let them. So they went on through Mysia until they came to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision from someone from Macedonia who was standing there and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we began looking for a way to go to Macedonia. We were sure that God had called us to preach the good news there. We sailed straight from Troas to Samothrace, and the next day we arrived at Neapolis. From there we went to Philippi, which is a Roman colony in the first district of Macedonia. We spent several days in Philippi. Then on the Sabbath we went outside the city gate to a place by the river, where we thought there would be a Jewish meeting place for prayer. We sat down and talked with the women who came. One of them was Lydia, who was from the city of Thyatira and sold expensive purple cloth. She was a worshiper of the Lord God, and he made her willing to accept what Paul was saying. Then after she and her family were baptized, she kept on begging us, "If you think I really do have faith in the Lord, come stay in my house." Finally, we accepted her invitation. One day, on our way to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl. She had a spirit in her that gave her the power to tell the future. By doing this, she made a lot of money for her owners. The girl followed Paul and the rest of us, and she kept yelling, "These men are servants of the Most High God. They are telling you how to be saved." This went on for several days. Finally, Paul got so upset that he turned and said to the Spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I order you to leave the girl alone." At once, the evil spirit left her. When the girl's owners realized they had lost all chances for making more money, they grabbed Paul and Silas and dragged them into court. They told the officials, "These Jews are upsetting our city. They are telling us to do things we Romans are not allowed to do." The crowd joined in the attack on Paul and Silas. Then the officials tore the clothes off the two men and ordered them to be beaten with a whip. After they had been badly beaten, they were put in jail, and the jailer was told to guard them carefully. The jailer did as he was told. He put them deep inside the jail and chained their feet to heavy blocks of wood. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing praises to God, while the other prisoners listened. Suddenly, a strong earthquake shook the jail to its foundations. The doors opened and the chains fell from the prisoners. When the jailer woke up and saw that the doors were open, he thought that the prisoners had escaped. He pulled out his sword and was about to kill himself, but Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself! No one has escaped." The jailer asked for a torch and went into the jail. He was shaking all over as he knelt down in front of Paul and Silas. After he had led them out of the jail, he asked, "What must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Have faith in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. This is also true for everyone who lives in your home." Then Paul and Silas told him and everyone else in his house about the Lord. While it was still night, the jailer took them to the place where he could wash their cuts and bruises. Then he and everyone in his home were baptized. They were very glad that they had put their faith in God. After this, the jailer took Paul and Silas to his home and gave them something to eat. The next morning, the official sent some police with orders for the jailer to let Paul and Silas go. The jailer told Paul, "The officials have ordered me to set you free. Now you can leave in peace." But Paul told the police, "We are Roman citizens, and the Roman officials had us beaten in public without giving us a trial. They threw us into jail. Now do they think they can secretly send us away? No, they cannot. They will have to come here themselves and let us out." When the police told the officials that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens, the officials were afraid. So they came and apologized. They led them out of the jail and asked them to please leave town. But Paul and Silas went straight to the home of Lydia, where they saw the Lord's followers and encouraged them. Then they left. Thank you for listening along as we read God's Word together here in Acts 16. I wish that Luke had just said a little more about why the Spirit of Jesus would not let them go into Asia. Sometimes in life, we cannot understand why things don't happen like we want them to. But as we see here, because they didn't go into Asia, they ended up going into Macedonia, into the city of Philippi, and there they met Lydia. And Lydia's life was changed, along with other followers of the Lord, because of what Christ had done, and because the followers of Jesus took the message. I'm reminded here in this passage also that Jesus uses our skills, our heritage, and our circumstances for his glory. Lydia was hospitable. In fact, she kind of held their hand to the fire and said, "If you think I'm a believer of the Lord, you have to come to my house." And so God used the hospitality of Lydia in the lives of Paul and Silas and others. He also can use our heritage. Think about Paul, who is also called Saul, and how he grew up as a Pharisee. He also was a Roman citizen, so he knew the Old Testament, but he also had this prowess as one who was respected in the Roman world. And he had rights that other people did not. And because of that, he was able to move in a different way than some of the other disciples. And then finally, the Lord uses our circumstances we see in this passage. Paul and Silas are in prison and they're singing a hymn. Again, I wish I knew which hymn they were singing. And then when the earthquake happens, they don't move. They know the Lord is at work. The jailer tries to kill himself and he says, no, don't do it. We're all still here. This circumstance was an opportunity to share a good word about Jesus. And we see that the jailer and his household were changed because of the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you go back a few steps, this all happened because something really bad occurred. When the Spirit was taken out of the slave girl, Paul and Silas were thrown into prison. They could have been like, why in the world is this happening to me? That's a natural response, right? But in this instance, we're able to see the full circle of the story, that because they were incarcerated, then they were able to tell the jailer the story of God's love. As we close our time together, I'd like for us to pray a snippet from the evening prayer on the 13th day in a diary of private prayer by John Bailey. I pray, O God, for all different kinds of people for whom Jesus gave special concern and care when he was on earth, for those needing food or drink or clothes, for the sick and all those who are wasted by disease, for the blind, for the disabled, for people suffering from life-shattering diseases like leprosy in Jesus' time and HIV and AIDS in our time, for prisoners, for those oppressed by any injustice and for refugees and asylum seekers, for the homeless and all the lost sheep of our society, for all victims of sexual exploitation and abuse, for the lonely, for all single parents, for the worried and the anxious, for those who are living faithful lives in obscurity, for those who are fighting bravely for unpopular causes. We pray for those who are out of work or in jobs where they cannot make ends meet. And we pray for all those who are working diligently for you throughout your world. Grant, O Father, that your loving kindness in giving me so much may not make me less sensitive to the needs of others less fortunate, but rather move me to lay their burdens on my own heart. If I should experience any adversity, help me not to brood on my own sorrows as if I were alone in the world of suffering, but rather help me to take the time to serve with compassion those who need my help. Let the power of my Lord Jesus Christ be strong within me and his peace invade my spirit. Amen.